answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
At the end of the day, I'm pretty confident that all these shady business schemes from the Biden family with our adversaries around the world, you're going to see between 6 and 7 Biden family members who are actively participating in this and who are actively receiving money from our adversary.
Well, March 22nd, 2023, that is Kentucky Congressman James Comer. He is chair of the House committee. He's talking about bank records, wire transfers, documents showing money from China going either to a Biden middleman, maybe sometimes direct to a member of the Biden family, documents. But when asked the other day, Biden said about those documents, it's not true. Comer says, that's rich.
I have subpoenaed bank records to prove that the family took over $1 million from a Chinese Communist Party backed energy company for no apparent reason. And he's still denying it. He's still lying about it. So, yes, we expect an apology from Joe Biden. We're disappointed but not shocked that the mainstream media has turned a blind eye to this. But my message to the White House is this isn't going away. There are other bank records. There are other potential business, quote unquote, deals that your family has made with China and other adversarial countries around the world. We're going to get the truth out. And there's going to come a point to where eventually the mainstream media is not going to be able to let him stand up there and lie to the American people about the fact that his family's taken millions and millions of dollars from our adversary.
Yeah, because it's going to become so apparent. Now, of course, they're thinking, well, there was one bullet he fired. Phew, we missed that one. Oh, no, here come many more. And then there are questions about how some of those wired documents were presented.
I've been involved in banking for most of my life, and I've seen, you know, a lot of bank wires. Bank wires are like checks. You put on there the name, the address, the date, the dollar amount, and then there's a memo at the bottom, just like a regular check. And all the bank wires that this Robinson Walker account had done over a 10-plus year period would always have the memo listed, except on the ones they sent to the Bidens, because that would be an obvious first step into trying to determine what exactly the Bidens did to get over $1 million from this company that just received a wire less than 24 hours earlier from China. Not only did this one wire not list the memo, it also just listed the last name, Biden, just like they were trying to hide it. They were obviously trying to hide something as to what the purpose of the wire was. And on this particular wire, not only were they trying to hide the purpose of the wire, they were trying to hide the first name of the wire. So we're trying to figure out what account that went to. We're trying to figure out which Biden that was.
Anybody want to hazard a guess? Now, keep in mind, that's just one wire transfer for $1 million. There were others at $3 million and more and more and more. And some of this was taking place when Joe Biden was vice president. When he was vice president. Democrats could have investigated. State-controlled media, if they're really doing their job, they could have. No. But what they are doing is going after Trump on trumped-up charges. Yeah, I said it. Trumped-up charges. So is it about lying about paying money to a porn star, Stormy Daniels, if that's the actual charge? There'd be a statute of limitations. If it involved federal election violations using such money, that's apparently already been reviewed by the DOJ and others, and they found no evidence of any reason to indict. But yet, we keep hearing from Trump and even the Manhattan DA, they're getting ready to lower the hammer on Trump. The Manhattan DA, Alan Bragg, got elected claiming he would bring Trump down. Joy Reid, MSNBC, says Bragg is heroic.
What Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg is doing is not abnormal. It is not a political witch hunt. Even the original Teflon Don, John Gotti, had to pay for his crimes eventually. What is abnormal is a former president who summons a mob to fight like hell after a majority of American voters held him accountable for the failures of his presidency by voting him out. Frankly, it is no surprise that Trump is returning to his usual playbook, posting erratic and unhinged calls for his supporters to protest his potential indictment. nor is it a surprise that he is deploying the same anti-Semitic, race-baiting posts on his third-rate Twitter, something his congressional buddies and television allies are more than happy to mimic. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy told reporters that Trump does not literally want to have his supporters protest. But there has been a significant increase in online threats and violent rhetoric related to Trump's potential indictment. Almost all of New York's law enforcement entities are taking the threats of violence more seriously than McCarthy is.
Well, maybe so. But, Joy Reid, may I ask you one question? You've got the Biden information right in front of you. Have you covered anything about Biden and the documents of wire transfer? No, you have not. So there's still no indictment against Trump. It may or may not come. Leftists hoping it still will, but that could help Trump win. Trump in handcuffs, doing a perk walk, that could definitely help him win. Oh, by the way, later in today's report, I'm going to share an article that will have Trump supporters fuming or maybe laughing. On another point, Treasury Secretary Yellen insisting our banks are safe. But Moody's chief economist Mark Zandi says there are still many banks that are somewhat on the edge.
The banking system is fragile. Everybody knows it. We had deposit runs. I don't think it's any surprise that the banking system is under pressure. So let's fess up to it and let's make sure that the system is on solid ground. I think it is. I think what the FDIC and the Treasury and the Federal Reserve have done is adequate, but let's just make sure.
Yeah, I think we should make sure. And, of course, the Fed still deciding if it's going to hike the rates, how much. Everybody's waiting to see what happens next on that point. Rightly so. And I remind you again that the Silicon Valley Bank, they're talking now because depositors were only insured up to $250,000 to the FDIC. They're saying maybe we should raise that limit. Just now, right? Well, of course, President Biden has signed Missouri Senator Hawley's bill to declassify all documents regarding the origins of COVID. All documents. But Biden did add that unless they're going to be a threat to national security, I think I see a loophole they might be using. What about you? My next guest coming up is going to focus on what happened at the Wuhan lab, how it's been covered up, and are we really going to get to the truth this time around, or is this going to be another ring around the rosy, pin the donkey on the tail with your blindfold on? We got a lot to cover. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, my guest we've had on before. Always glad to have him, Robert Moffitt with Heritage Health Policy, as an expert for them. Robert, glad to have you with us again, sir. Now we're still getting him connected. It is good. Robert, you're there. Good to have you.
Yeah, I'm here.
Very good.
Right.
So as I explaining, of course, you're a health policy expert for Heritage, and we're talking about the COVID-19 origins, and of course, Biden just signed off Missouri Senator Hawley's bill to declassify all COVID-19 documents and an answer within 90 days. Let me begin there. Are we going to see everything in 90 days?
I believe you will. The president did say that he might hold back some data that would reflect on national security.
Yeah, and to me, that's a loophole.
Well, yes, it is. But at the same time, I don't think that Senator Hawley wants information out there that would jeopardize jeopardize our collection of data or information. My impression is that both Senator Hawley and Senator Rand Paul are very happy with the president's decision to sign the bill.
But I take note that he took time to sign it. He let sit there for a few days, and he couldn't veto it because Democrats unanimously, Congress said, we want this done, and he finally gets around to signing it.
Yes, that's right. But, you know, my view is that, you know, after 3 years, we ought to get this information declassified, and the president did it, and so we thank God for small favors.
I'm looking at a piece that you wrote originally for the Daily Signal, and again, you're listening to Robert Moffitt. He's policy director on health at the Heritage Foundation, and you pointed out that major media has largely overlooked an intriguing fact in April of 2020 when Fauci and Collins of the National Institutes of Health, or CDC, right? Or way back.
National Institutes of Health,
yeah,
NIH.
Right. I thought I had it right to begin with. They were busy denying the validity of the lab leak theory after prompting NIH-funded scientists to craft a March 2020 article to discredit the possible lab origins. One or more state officials investigating conclude the pandemic more likely did originate. I just read to the audience a moment ago that in August 2021, they were still saying, we're divided. We don't know if it came from there or not. But for anyone who dared question and say it came from that lab, you were demonized.
Yeah, it was a real problem because basically all of the circumstantial evidence, which the State Department actually uncovered in April of 2020 or before, indicated that, you know, the circumstantial evidence pointed to a lab. And as I pointed out in the article, the author of the State Department memo, or authors, most likely more than one, they pointed out that the first known patient who was diagnosed with COVID-19 was not related to the wet market.
Yes.
Which is what the Chinese communists were telling us. Now, that's an important point.
Yeah, I mean, you had a point before that where you said it remained the most likely yet least probed possible.
That's correct. That's, again, what the State Department said on paper in April of 2020. And they also pointed out that, you know, as soon as this thing became a problem, the military took over the lab, they sealed the lab, and, you know, would not allow any kind of communication with individuals within the lab. And since January of 2003, since January 3rd of 2020, the communist Chinese government would not allow any information out without government approval.
Yeah, so, we were given the impression that they were going to be sending in, the World Health Organization and others were going to send in experts to take a look at it, and they issued a report. Then later they confided, we never got in the lab. We just took whatever information they gave us.
That's right. I mean, the communist Chinese restricted the World Health Organization from really getting to the bottom of anything. And so that's it. And then after that, of course, President Biden ordered the Office of National Intelligence to do another assessment, and they were inconclusive. They could not come up with a decision about whether or not, based on the information that they had, whether or not the coronavirus had a natural origin or was leaked from the lab.
Let me clarify something. You say they were inconclusive. What I've read is they were divided. Some believed it did come from the lab, and some say it didn't. Now, you could say that's inconclusive, but I hear opposing views.
There were opposing views within the Office of National Intelligence, and therefore they took the position that they, as the Office of National Intelligence, they could not make a conclusive judgment on that issue.
You point out because that in May of 2021, Sir Richard Dearlove, former head of MI6, Britain's famed intel service, judged that COVID-19 origins had become an intelligence issue and British intel should incentivize Chinese defectors to uncover the truth.
Yeah, there you are. That's exactly right. I mean, frankly, if you look at the testimony of Dr. Redfield, you know, who also, by the way, has taken the position that, you know, the lab leak was likely.
Right.
At the same time, what we've gotten out of the hearing so far is that this can't be simply be solved by a group of scientists sitting around making determinations based on, you know, the limited data that they have. And what the Britain's intelligence chief said, I think, is really the right point, is the major point, that this has become not simply a scientific exercise. This is really an intelligence issue. And that's why he said that what we ought to start doing is doubling down on getting as much information on human intelligence, primarily from Chinese defectors who would be able to get us to the truth.
Dr. Fake, I'm sorry, respectfully, Dr. Fauci, Fake, was doubling down on denying it came from there. There's no possibility. And you mentioned Redfield, former CDC director. He said, it amazes me scientists would suddenly jump to that conclusion when everything indicates this virus was educated in the lab.
That's right. Yeah, Redfield, I think. But, you know, the important point about this, Redfield also told the Congress in that first major hearing that he had been excluded from the discussion with Fauci and other members of the public health team on this particular issue. And that tells you a lot.
Let's give him a little. Dr. Fake said, I didn't control who was on the call. I didn't know. Well, not me. I didn't cut him out.
Well, you know, that's why obviously the chairman of the committee, and he's apparently turning out to be a real great public servant, Congressman Brad Wenstrup of Ohio, is going to call Fauci.
Good.
And he's going to call Collins, and he's announced that he is also going to call the State Department. And the State Department obviously has had a lot to say about this. What I think is really stunning is that in April of 2020, while this emergency is, you know, this international emergency with hundreds of thousands of people dying on a regular basis,
right?
Why that the NIH and the State Department were not in communication with each other in sharing this information?
Yes.
I mean, the State Department clearly had information that Fauci did not have, including the ability to determine that the first victim of COVID-19, patient zero, they have her name, Wang Yang Ling, who worked at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. You know, they had good, solid information on this, but, you know, Fauci and Collins were not in communication with the State Department. Now, I frankly pointed out, in the essay that you mentioned, Congress really has to find out what happened. How can you have an international medical crisis of such the largest since the 1918 flu, and the major federal agencies, the senior members of federal agencies, the career staff are not even talking with each other, when in fact they both have information that would be valuable?
You know what you've identified in my mind is the same failures behind 9/11, when intel information was there and nobody was sharing with each other.
Oh, that was exactly right. The FBI did not have the information that the CIA had. I mean, it was an unbelievable failure on the part of the intelligence services of the United States.
And 8 million Americans died.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of people who died. That's
and
right.
And all around the world, you're right.
Around the world.
Now, you know this. Did you see the PBS documentary last night with Dr. Fauci? I tend to slip from time to time.
I didn't actually see it. I've heard about it.
All right, you know there's a part in there where he's going around Mayor Bowser trying to encourage people to get shots, and PBS goes ahead and airs his part, which is interesting. And the guy say, no, I'm not going to get that. All you guys, you're peddling fear and panic. It's not the the virus, if you're trying to pay money and incentivize people or threatening them with their jobs if they don't get the shot, that's peddling fear and panic. Not, it's not the COVID I'm worried about. I'm worried about you guys. Now, here's the other thing. Dr. Fauci pointed out Senator Rand Paul is insidiously throwing into this questions that all this was in the Wuhan lab. He said, I have 10,000 grants I've given to other labs around the world. But the question is, how many of those labs around the world, that those 10,000, how many of them produce COVID? One.
Yeah. Well, the fact of the matter is that, you know, we have got to really clamp down on the kind of research that was going on.
I don't have a problem with the research, do you? I have a problem with who's doing it. If we're giving the money, Chinese are doing it. Yeah, okay.
That's my point. The point is, and on that particular issue, you probably know, but if not, I will tell you. The Office of Inspector General at HHS lambasted the National Institutes of Health for the management of its program at Wuhan. They gave about $8 million to the EcoHealth Alliance, which is run by a man by the name of Peter Daszak.
Right.
And they pointed out that EcoHealth Alliance failed to report early on experiments that were very troublesome at the Wuhan lab. And the Office of Inspector General made the point, and it was a very good point, that the NIH is responsible for a failure of administration and oversight over a very sensitive grant. So hopefully one of the legislative solutions to the following these hearings is that we're going to have a remedy where we have a better control over the kind of grant funding that we have for these institutions. And certainly, my God, the idea of having giving grant money to, you know, either China or any other hostile power is just incredible.
Stop it. Just stop it right now. Hey, Robert Moffitt of the Heritage Foundation, thank you as always for your time and your expertise, sir.
All right. It's a real pleasure. Thank you so much for getting in contact with
us. We'll do it again. Robert Moffitt. Ackerman Toyota wishing you a great 2023, but Jay Ackerman knows that times are tough for some. So Jay has a mission to help charities that truly make a difference. Food banks, veterans groups, charities battling cancer, head injuries. Jay wants to give back to the community. So I personally ask you to consider his mission when you're shopping for a car. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota. For life. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
This should be no surprise, but let me report it to you anyway. House Republicans on the Judiciary Committee found the Biden administration had, quote, no legitimate basis for deploying counterterrorism resources against concerned parents showing up at school board meetings. Yeah, that should have been known. Should have been a fact, shouldn't it? Well, in fact, the report read, it appears from these documents and the information received, the administration's actions were a political offensive meant to quell swelling discord over controversial education curricula and unpopular school board decisions. Of course, this committee, led by Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, launching the investigation into the DOJ just days after the Attorney General issued an October 2021 memorandum directing the FBI to label activist parents with threat tags. Garland's guidance coming 5 days after the White House approved recommendations from the National School Board Association, the NSBA, encouraging using counterterrorism measures against parents who spoke up at the meetings. The letter itself was commissioned by the Education Secretary Cardona as parental rights and education became a focal point in the Virginia gubernatorial contest. Now, the NSBA shared the draft language of its letter with the White House, and apparently in that draft raised no concerns with the reference to counterterrorism or using the tools of the Patriot Act. Supposedly, it was not included. But nevertheless, Garland established a task force in response, including agencies responsible for enforcing counterterrorism statutes. And the Attorney General encouraged the use of an FBI tip line for anyone to flag parents for surveillance. Whistleblower documents suggest that Garland lied about the scandal when testifying before the committee over the issue. Now, I want to make a point here. If that can be proven, get his butt back in there and charge him with perjury. None of the FBI school board related investigations led to any federal arrest or charges, nor should they have. But I will tell you this, school boards nationwide dropped their affiliation with the National School Board Association once that letter became public in fall of 2021. In fact, just last summer, Nebraska became the 25th state to cut ties with that group. So now the leadership, realizing, my God, we're losing people everywhere, they wrote, "We regret and apologize for that letter." Yeah, of course you do now. Of course you do. Oh, and to that extent, by the way, the House Judiciary Committee demanded that Garland repeal his 2021 memorandum targeting concerned parents at school board meetings. The very ones who showed up and saying, "How dare you teach my child about sex at third grade level? How dare you force my children to call themselves guilty of white supremacy?" All the CRT teaching, everything else is being shoved in the children's faces. And for that, they were labeled with terrorist threat tags. So again, the House Judiciary Committee demanding Garland, you repeal that memorandum. Garland's response so far, crickets, crickets, doing nothing. Yeah, and he's not going to. But I still say, get him back up in front of them and hit him with charges of perjury. Now, of course, when we watch this stuff play out in the Manhattan DA's office, if there is or is not going to be an indictment of Trump on charges, it may or may not have some substantial value, and then again, might just be a circus show. We're already seeing the results of how it's going to affect Trump. He's surging to a double-digit lead over DeSantis after they were tied in early Feb. That's a Monmouth University poll just released yesterday. 41% of Republicans want Trump as a GOP nominee. 14 points ahead of DeSantis at 27 points. Nikki Haley, 3%. Former Vice President Pence, Senator Rand Paul, Tim Scott, Ted Cruz, all tied at 1%. So if you're looking at politics, those numbers say that's where the election would be headed. You know, there was a time when if you ask someone about their politics or their religion, that's none of your business. I remember that distinctly. I remember two cases. One as a Boy Scout going door to door on a campaign canvas asking people about some election and are you going to vote Democrat, Republican, or even a particular candidate? I don't recall the exact question. I don't know how many times the door got slammed in my face. None of your business, kid. Slammed the door. I remember driving with my grandfather. He was driving. I'm sitting there. We're going out to the lake. And I said, "Granddad, what do you think about?" I raised some question about religion or politics. Maybe it's politics. He said, "It's none of your business." Nobody wanted to talk about their politics nor their religion. Now everybody wants to. And that gives me a good forum, and I love it. But there was a time, this kind of program, nobody talks about religion. Nobody talks about politics. We're a different time, aren't we? So let me share this piece from the National Spectator. Let me verify this. I'm not sure this is the National Spectator. I always like to give you a source, and I don't want to give you the wrong one. This is National Review. That's what I'm thinking. National Review, a piece written by Charles C.W. Cook. You may not like what you're going to hear. There's your first warning. He points out there are only two choices. We cannot have both of these things. Conservative Americans must choose. Do they want Donald Trump to play a central role in Republican politics, or do they want to win elections and achieve the policy outcomes that supposedly inspired them to get involved in politics in the first instance? My question is literal, not rhetorical. Conservatives must choose. They cannot have both of these things. You must choose. Do you want Donald Trump, or do you want the policy outcomes that got you excited about him and other policies, politics anyway? That's his approach on this. He talks about the, as President Trump delivered some welcome conservative victories, he's not going to do that again. In fact, the opposite is true. If Trump is allowed to stick around, he will remain what he has already become, a massive drag on the fortunes and the efficacy of the political right. These are the words of the writer for this National Review piece. He adds that electorally, Trump is a bust. Ideologically, he's a mess. As an agent of persuasion, well, let's just say this. At this point, the GOP might be better off asking Charles Manson to serve as the chief representative of its brand. I told you you weren't going to like it. They're going to say the Republican of a party who stay at the margins of federal offices and watch impatiently as progressives continue to accrue power. Now, that is a concern. He goes on to say Trump is not going to win elections going forward. He won in 2016 because he ran against Hillary Clinton. And even then, he secured only 46% of the vote. In 2018, he was a drag on the Republican ticket. In 2020, he lost re-election by 7 million votes. Well, now, I do have a problem with that because the FBI had already put its thumb on the election scale by telling everybody, we're not going to tell you anything about the Hunter laptop until after the election. So, that aside. Then he goes on to say in 2022, Trump almost single-handedly demolished the GOP's chance to retake the Senate. And then he adds, if Trump is renominated in 2024, he will lose again. The same goes for 2008, 2028, 2032, 2036, and every election season in which between Trump is a poor candidate. He has become worse, not better over time, and his time in the wilderness has turned him into King Lear. That's as written by the National Review correspondent Charles Cook. What do you think?
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
So put this on your calendar, May the 1st. Napoli C will open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. Napoli C will have the finest seafood, lobster, crab, caviar. May 1st, Napoli C opens on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3, which is also open for lunch and on Sundays. You can find me at Cafe Napoli. In Clayton, Town and Country, Streets of St. Charles, and then May 1st, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
GLAAD, that's, of course, an organization of gay and activist drags or whatever, counts 596 LGBT characters currently on your TV on various channels, a total of 596. Biologist Dawkins points out, Richard Dawkins declares there are only two sexes. Genders is obviously what he's referring to. He's a British evolutionary biologist, prominent atheist, Richard Dawkins, lashing out at modern leftist concepts on gender and the woke bullying of women such as the Harry Potter author for her feminist critique of the transgender movement in the West. Here is Dawkins. I just pointed to you again. He's a prominent atheist, and he says there are only two genders. Now, you'd think an atheist say, oh, there could be multiple genders. There's no God. He's acknowledging, as an evolutionary biologist and an atheist, there are only two genders. Now, with that in mind, Republican Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders just signed into legislation yesterday that will prohibit transgenders in public schools from using the bathroom if they don't correspond with their gender identity. If you're born a male, you must use the boys' restroom. If you're born a female, you must use the girls' restroom. That's in Arkansas. Other states have done similar. Other states are considering it. Other states are saying, you are so bad, you won't let boys into the girls' restroom. Really? This woke culture, as I've said, needs to wake up and then be put to sleep. Put to sleep forever. As always, I remind you of our pledge, one nation under God.